Well, can I just once again say good morning to you, especially if you are joining us as a guest for the first time today. Really do want to just extend a really warm welcome to you and hope that so far you've enjoyed your morning with us and obviously that you'll enjoy the rest of our service and your time with us as well. Do stay around after the service and enjoy some fellowship and a cup of tea or coffee and some goodies out there in the cafe as well. Well, we're currently engaged in a series on knowing Christ, and I think the important thing to say there is that knowing Christ is about knowing the person. We talk about that a lot here, haven't we? We've talked about that a lot. Knowing the person, Jesus Christ. Who is he, this person, Jesus? What is required of me in following this person, Jesus? What did he do for me, and what do I need to do in serving him? Our base text, as we're aware, is what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians. He says this, I want to know Christ. And then he follows that up with this great emphasis, this great emphatic word. He says, yes, I want to know Christ. Yes. And in the scripture, there's a comma there. I want to know Christ. Yes. To know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. You'll find that in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. And I think that's a summary. That text right there is a summary of precisely what following Christ entails. And so today we've discussed born again. That was a couple of weeks ago. Last week Jeff brought a great message on the topic of repentance. And all of these messages, the audio and the transcript as well, is all online. So please go ahead and avail yourselves of all of that resource if for some reason you miss a message. This week we're talking about knowing Christ and remaining in Christ. Remaining in him as in abiding in him. That's a great biblical word, isn't it? Abiding in him. Fully connected to him. Hudson Taylor, is that a name you're all familiar with? Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission, responsible in the mid-1800s for leading hundreds of missionaries into China's interior for the first time. In 1869, when 37 years old, he entered a new phase of life, what's been recorded as a deeper and more constant, more satisfying experience of abiding in Christ. And here's what his son, Frederick Howard Taylor, here's how his son reflected on his life after his passing. He says this, he was a man almost 60 years of age, bearing tremendous burdens, yet absolutely calm and untroubled. Oh, the pile of letters, any one of which might contain news of death, a lack of funds, or riots, or serious trouble, yet all were opened, read, and answered with the same tranquility. Christ was his reason for peace, his power for calm. Dwelling in Christ, he drew upon his very being and resources, and this he did by an attitude of faith as simple as it was continuous. Yet he was delightfully free and natural. I can find no words to describe it save the scriptural expression, in God. He was in God all the time. And God in him. He was in God all the time, and God in him. I want to suggest it's precisely that sort of character and depth of love for Jesus that comes from the remaining that we're talking about this morning, and the remaining that John talks about in chapter 15. You know, I worry sometimes. Yes, I do. I worry sometimes that for many Christians, Christian life is nothing more than spiritually just scraping by. Connection to Christ as Lord of all of life is frayed at best. And there is little of the impact of his grace towards us, little of the impact of his grace and mercy towards us, little in the way of a consciousness of who he is. Equal to that, there is an absence of manifest joy. The joy that comes from knowing Christ, knowing the person Christ. Reflect on this question. Where today, Where today do we find such spiritual death as I just referenced in the story about the man Taylor? Where today do we find such spiritual depth? People with roots planted deep into and connected into the person of Christ, the living vine, that evidences itself in such fruit bearing that says that person right there loves Jesus. That person loves Jesus. That person there, they're in Jesus. They are fully connected to the living vine that is the person, Jesus. That's what we're talking about this morning. Let's take a look at the scripture together. Feel free to follow along in your own translation of the vines of the scripture. This is the NIV. Let me read it to you this morning. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Love each other. So let's take a look at our connection to Jesus and our continuity in Jesus. Those are our two main points to this morning: connection to Jesus and our continuity in Jesus. In the Bible, the vine is frequently used as a symbol of Israel and Israel's relationship to God. And you'll find key examples of this connection in Psalm 80, Isaiah chapter 5, and Jeremiah chapter 2. Let me just give you that one as an example. Jeremiah 2, verse 21. I have planted you like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt, wild vine? A symbol often used, particularly when Israel was lacking in some way. Jesus also utilized the imagery of the vine in his teaching throughout the Gospels and parables, again symbolic of Israel's relationship or lack of with God. But here in John chapter 15, Jesus makes a departure from that, declaring of himself that he was the vine. I am the vine, he said. So the key points of this part of that whole Gospel chapter is that God is the gardener. And as the gardener, he cuts off non-fruit-bearing branches, branches that were in the vine, Jesus, but are not bearing fruit. He cuts them off. But then for the branches that are fruit-bearing, he prunes. That means he shapes and he disciplines and he causes circumstances to be such to make them even more fruitful. That's the pruning. You know, when we look at the work of an arborist, or more specifically an experienced viticulturalist, I said that right. That took my getting your tongue out. A viticulturalist. That's like an expert in vines. A viticulturalist is able to read the health of a vine. And once vines are planted, apart from watering and fertilizing and pest control, the main work in a vineyard, aside from a harvest, is what do you think? It's pruning. Why do they spend so much time pruning and tending the vines? Maximize yields to get the very best fruit that they can. Quality fruit. I didn't have that written down in my notes, but that works, Clem. Thank you. To get the very best fruit that they can. Quality fruit. Pruning leads to quality fruit. Jesus is the true vine and wants his followers to remain in him, connected to him, grafted into him, and get this last bit, only him. Only him. Bearing fruit by doing so. Connected into Jesus, of course, means that no one or anything else is our primary source of life. He alone is it. Exclamation mark. He alone is it. And conversely, there is no fruit bearing when there is a disconnection to the vine. How can there be? One might say, no life. No life at all. We are called to remain in Jesus. So what does this remaining look like, and why is it so important for today? Well, remaining in Jesus means living by his teaching. John chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples." But not just in his teaching, as important as that is, the product of that teaching is that we're remaining in him, the person Jesus, following him, imitating him, pursuing relationship with him every day, every moment of every day. And further to that, even the imagery of the vine shows us that relationship with Jesus is actually about total reliance and dependence on him. It's knowing him. Knowing him means that prayer, reading the word, fellowship, serving and worship and activities and disciplines like that are not pushed to the margins of our week. Remaining in Jesus and living by his teaching means those things, prayer, worship, service, fellowship and all that sort of stuff, means that those things are the totality of our lives. Not right on the fringes of life, but those things are our life, because that's what remaining in Jesus and connected to him looks like. They are our life. George Mueller read the Bible over 100 times through. He also wrote over 30,000 letters per year for 40 years. Prolific. He had 9 assistants working in 12 languages. He pastored 1,200 believers, had the oversight of 5 large orphanages and a huge publishing house, printed and distributed millions of books, tracts, and Bibles. He said, "I never think of going to my work without first having a good season of time with God and my Bible." So that's what remaining in Jesus looks like. Never going to work, never going and doing anything without having a good season. You could swap out season for session. Having a good session with God in his presence, in prayer and in the word. Marvelous. Remaining in Jesus is having that commitment to a growing spiritual connection that produces fruit. Apart from him, you can do nothing, Jesus said. His teaching in us, grows that connection with Jesus, the source. What about the benefits of remaining in Jesus? Several here, several benefits. Well, he remains in us. John chapter 15, verse 4, remain in me. You notice the order of these words? He's saying, remain in me and I will remain in you. Note the order there. Who do you think the responsibility lies with? Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Second benefit is we are fruitful. Chapter 15, verses 4 to 5. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. The third benefit is our prayers are heard. from chapter 15 and verse 7 and verse 16. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. I have appointed you so you might go and bear fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. There's an important caveat within these verses, and this is it. These are not get what we want prayers. They're not get what we want prayers. These are kingdom focused, his will be done prayers. Prayers that are in step with his heart and purposes. These are fruit bearing, committed to God, committed to growing in God prayers. Another benefit is it positively affects our sense of community. When each one in this room, in this family of God, are connected to the vine, the living Jesus, and we come together into this room to worship, worship is just intense. Why? Because we're all connected to Jesus, loving him. There is fruit bearing. And according to the scripture, God is glorified when there is fruit bearing. There is complete joy, full joy that comes from an awareness of God's grace. I'll come back to that just very briefly at the end. There is sacrificial love, the same love Jesus shows us we're to pass on to others. All of those benefits, that's some church, isn't it? Think about some of those things. I want to be a part of a church like that, don't you? All of that there is what remaining in Jesus 101 looks like. It's what remaining in Jesus 101 looks like. And a further benefit, it's preparation for his coming again. We all believe Jesus is coming again? 1 John 2:28. And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. You know that these words in 1 John, continue in him, is from the exact same Greek word used in John 15, remain. Same word. So that gives good reason and motivation to keep connected to Jesus. You know that there's a warning in Scripture for not remaining in him? Chapter 15, verses 2 and 6. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. There's a warning here for not remaining in him. To fail to remain in Christ is to fail to find life in the vine and risks separation from the vineyard and consequent destruction. God the gardener cuts off every branch in Jesus that bears no fruit. If anyone does not remain in Jesus, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and those branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. As a branch disconnected, I no longer am or can be fruitful or of use to Jesus. Why? Because we're cut off. The metaphor implies a destruction, a finality. And do remember that we are dealing with metaphor here. Like parables, there's usually only one central meaning. If we're asking questions around this passage, like I'm sure some of us would be, does this passage mean that Christians can lose their salvation? Is Jesus talking about judgment? Is he talking about discipline? Here's what I want to say. Scholars are wide and varied on this matter. The advice is that we're at risk of asking questions of Jesus' teaching here was never intended to answer, therefore missing the one important principle he was teaching. It's in those three words, remain in me. The emphasis is that those who are genuinely born again are those connected to the vine, and those Christians will bear fruit. Throughout John's gospel, you'll find references to people who have shown superficial interest in Jesus, but never fully believed. And in that setting, Jesus was preparing his disciples for what lay ahead, the pressures that they would face, and that those hard times, pruning, would draw them into a more robust union with Jesus, making them even more fruitful. Here's what Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 10 to 11 says. They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. And later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Healthy, fruit-bearing branches aren't going to get cut off. When we bear fruit, we're pruned by God the gardener to be better fruit. So that's where our focus needs to be. Therefore, how we are connected to the vine is not what Jesus is teaching here. What he's teaching is that we must be attached. That's what he's teaching. That's the emphasis. So why is remaining important? I think the key words here are, apart from me, you can do nothing. Life finds its dependence in Christ alone. He is our all, and remaining in him is important. I would use a stronger word there, actually. I would say eternally vital, because it has to do with our union with the person of Christ. Yeah, Karen told me a couple of weeks ago about a teaching video that she viewed recently by a guy called Dr. Grant Mullen, who had said that it is possible. He said this, I want you to listen to this carefully. He said it is possible for Christian leaders to serve for 40 years or more, doing everything they need to do, and never experience the presence of God. My jaw dropped. I was astounded. I thought, how can that be true? How can that be true? But here's where I arrived at. We human beings are that good at our appearances. We are that good at giving appearances that all is good, that all is cool with Jesus. We can look right. We can say all the right things, but we can be completely detached from Jesus. That's sobering, eh? We can give all of the appearances of being connected and remaining in him, where in natural fact, we are completely detached. The Christian, fully connected to the vine, Jesus, has as his or her spiritual lifeblood and everything about Jesus flowing through his or her veins. You know, just like flood waters that will flow to every room in a house or nook and cranny, leaving no part unflooded. Deep and profound love for Jesus, when fully connected to him, will prove itself in any and every part of our lives. When the Holy Spirit floods your life, it's literally like a flood flowing through the house. When we allow the Holy Spirit to touch us and minister to us and flow through our lives and saying, Lord, touch every part of my life. I don't want to leave any compartment of my life apart from you. Touch every part of me, Lord. Only then will he come in like a flood. Only then will he come in like a flood. You know, in the melee of the busyness and circumstances of life, many of us struggle to nurture a connection to the most important life source of all, Jesus. We blame so many things, don't we? Oh, I'm tired. I've been tired this week. Work, family, illness, all of these things are all mitigating and real factors. You know, I've sat with so many well-intended Christians for whom the person of Jesus is more at the margins of life than he is at the very center. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus says. Sit with that for a moment. Apart from me, Jesus, you can do nothing. If he is our way, truth, and life, we do what we need to do to protect and nurture relationship with him as the source of all life, to be in his presence. Nothing should get in the way of that. To experience his joy as our joy. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Says this in my version: as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." I find it significant that you mentioned this morning, Mark. What did Mary choose that was better, that Martha neglected? What did she choose? Was it not simply abiding in Christ, sitting at his feet, enjoying Jesus, enjoying the presence of Jesus? How many of us are more like Martha than Mary? I'm not asking for a show of hands there. How many of us are more like Martha than Mary? Mary has chosen what is better, Jesus said. You know, today is a good day to assess the quality of our being in the vine. It's B-E-I-N-G. Today's a good day to assess the quality of our being in the vine. Perhaps we need a little or a lot of pruning. We certainly don't want to be the dead branch that gets cut off. And if our remaining is lacking, I want to encourage you today, purpose before God today to do something about that, if your remaining is lacking. Let's move on to our second point, much shorter with this one. Continuity in Jesus. You could say perseverance in Jesus. Just referring to the relevant texts again. Verse 10, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. And verse 16, I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Even though fruit bearing is a product of connection to Jesus, we help this cause by placing ourselves in the best possible place to bear fruit. Because we don't want to hinder, but rather promote fruit. And note here, like I alluded to earlier on, note here that the emphasis is on the individual to remain in him. It doesn't happen involuntarily. It requires our participation. Requires our obedience. It requires our yes, Lord. Because remaining in Jesus is not a static connection. It's to be a growing, dynamic, living connection. Furthermore, the extent to which we remain in Jesus profoundly affects our sense of unity, our community, and our worship of God. Clarity of vision and purpose, our need for each other and a collective sense of God's mission for us, all of that is profoundly affected by our individual remaining in Jesus because we are the sum of all of our parts. Paul understood the need for continuity and perseverance in Christ. He wrote such things as this, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. I love this. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Bear with one another in love. Make every effort. Here's the great apostle Paul, and he realized he needed to stick his red bands on and roll his sleeves up, spiritually speaking. Bear with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Pressing on toward the goal. I love this. Straining toward what is ahead. Here's a man who worked hard. He worked hard to keep his connection with Jesus. Didn't come naturally. The Christian journey is not a spiritual stroll. Christian journey is not a spiritual stroll. It's vital we take seriously Jesus' teaching and listen and act obediently. You know, a biblical Christian is defined as one who is in an abiding relationship with Christ. If you are remaining in Him, then you will be producing fruit. You will have allowed Him to prune you so you could grow. Your life will be centered on and around the person of Christ. Anything you do outside of Him will not produce lasting fruit. He wants to change you into the image of God as He spends time with you and you with Him. You know, God sees the work that needs to be done in us. Why does He see the work that needs to be done in us? Because He's the gardener. He's the gardener. Earlier I spoke of one of the benefits of remaining in Jesus is joy. His joy, in fact. If we look at verse 1 again, he says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. We notice this is the main purpose for remaining in Him, is His joy. His joy in us makes our joy complete. And the reason our joy is full is because we are connected to Him, committed to Him, and continuing to grow in Him, and we enjoy then what He enjoys. What does this mean for us? It means our serving the Father, loving the Father, honoring the Father is all because of our experience of abiding and dwelling and remaining and living in Jesus' love. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you today. Don't be satisfied with the status quo. Don't be satisfied with giving the appearance that you're well connected. Let's do what we need to do. Let's put the necessary steps and measures and disciplines in place and make a fresh commitment to remain in Jesus. When fruit is yielded in a vineyard, the vine, the branches, the soil, even the fruit does not get the credit. The vine exists for one purpose alone. Jesus, the vine, singular purpose was and is to bear fruit. What for? The glory of the Father. That's it. That was the main purpose. Is the main purpose. For the glory of the Father. I want to suggest that that ought to be ours as well. That's our main purpose. That's why we're here today, to give Him glory, to love on Him, to worship Him, and to give Him glory. Just that little piece again about Hudson Taylor to conclude. Christ was His reason for peace, His power for calm. Dwelling in Christ, He drew upon His very being and resources. And this He did by an attitude of faith as simple as it was continuous. He was delightfully free and natural. He was in God. He was in God all the time and God in Him. That is what remaining in Jesus looks like. Let's stand together. Father, we want to thank You that You are the gardener and that You see every part, every aspect of our lives. And Lord, today is our response to what we've heard from John chapter 15 and a raft of other texts from Your word this morning. Holy Spirit, would You move in us to move towards You? Would You move in us, prompting us and showing us what we need to do to nurture and develop and grow that connection with the living vine that is the person Jesus? Lord, we don't want to be like those dead branches, those unfruitful branches that are cut off. But Lord, we invite, we boldly, Lord, say to You today, we invite Your pruning because we want to be people, Lord, who grow and produce fruit. for the purposes of glorifying the Father. Because that's what you did, Jesus. We want to do what you did, and we want to do what you're asking us to do. And what you're asking us to do, Lord, is to remain in you, connected to you, the life source, the only true life source. Move in us by your Holy Spirit, we pray today, showing us what we need to do. Prompt us, Lord, to a response today. We give you glory, Lord. We thank you for our time together here today. I pray your blessing upon each family here, upon each person here. May we go now, Lord, with your hand upon us. May we know your favor for today and for this week ahead. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.